Hi, I'm Jeremy Steelberg, and I'm currently the Everance representative for our congregation. That's just been since the end of May, I believe, early June. And it's my pleasure to introduce Steve Bustos. Steve is an Everance stewardship consultant. In his work, Steve nurtures relationships with congregations, pastors, and church conference leadership, and walks alongside them as they navigate the relationship between faith and finances. He serves congregations across the continental United States, Alaska, and Hawaii. He is based out of the Everance corporate office in Goshen, Indiana. Steve grew up a pastor's kid, and during his childhood, his parents started two Spanish-speaking congregations. Those early experiences instilled in him a deep passion for the church and a strong appreciation for pastors and their ministry. Steve and his wife, Lori, have two grown children, and they attend Silverwood Mennonite Church in Goshen. And in his spare time, Steve enjoys visiting lots of our national parks and following the Green Bay Packers as closely as he can. So welcome, Steve.
You bet.
Good to have you.
I wondered what kind of reaction that would get. That's okay. I don't fear you. All right. The scripture that we just read. There's something I love about involving the congregation in that scripture. And you, as you could tell, there was a selection of a number of passages. And that it was very intentional, because when we talk about faith and finances, there is so much that could be said. And this was an attempt by me to try to give a little bit of that breadth of the expanse of what the Bible says. Faith-inspired finances. Is it
a scripture?
Okay. All right. There we go. Okay. Have you ever pondered how some things just don't mix very well? You know, things such as pancakes and ketchup. Yeah, good reaction. I like that. How about cats and dogs? They can get into some nasty fights.
They can be best friends.
Okay, now I know who I'm going to keep my eyes on. Fire and ice, oil and water, milk and water. I'm waiting for a reaction. You're supposed to say, yuck. However, there are some things that are definitely compatible. Salt and pepper. You can't eat a hot dog without ketchup and?
Mustard.
All right. Now, I thought about that this morning. I said, oh, I'm coming from Chicago. I'm going to Chicago. They're going to talk about relish and all this other stuff. But that's all right. That's all right. There's things that complement each other. Or how about the classic peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I love these when we're doing some hikes. Some things, as you can tell, simply mix well, and others don't. So how do you think this applies to your perspective and experience with faith and your finances? Which of these analogies best describes that experience? This morning, I want to provide you with a word of encouragement in this area, but also to challenge you to strengthen this connection between your faith and finances. Doing this will help to address the tendency for us to compartmentalize our life in these specifically these two areas. Faith-inspired finances can blend nicely together so that our lives are enriched. And in order for this to happen, it does require a heart examination. Adele Alberg Calhoun, author and pastor, says the following about stewardship. And she says, stewardship poses hard questions about the unique intentions of our hearts. The questions are always aimed at us personally. Are you doing all I would have you do with all that I have given you? End of quote. But before we can even explore this type of question, I'd like to suggest this action requires three things, and they're wrapped up in the following words: inviting, reflecting, and responding. Let's begin with the first word, inviting. Faith-inspired finances is indeed an invitation. It's an invitation to invite God in and to be a part of the process of your financial decisions. It is the intentional act of inviting God into this process. This isn't an action that comes to us naturally, because our tendency is to compartmentalize our lives and just treat our financial decisions as money matters. And let's admit, it's a lot easier when we do it that way. But if we are to embrace a faith-centered life, you know, like the one that Paul suggested to the church of Galatia, where he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith." It's verses like this that remind us of the centrality of Christ in our life, in a faith-oriented and driven life. I ran across this illustration in a webinar recently, which challenged us to examine our perspective of money in light of ownership. So starting from left to right, a self-absorbed owner claims that their money is all mine, 100%. That's it. An obligated owner still takes that 100%. However, they feel a little guilty and feel obligated to also give, so they make a contribution, you know, with the leftovers. An obedient owner demonstrates a commitment to God and commits to God 10% or whatever percentage that may be. You see, a love-inspired steward sees their money and their wealth as 100% God's. A dramatic shift happens when we have this perspective. And I know a number of years ago, I used to use the analogy of a gift, that money was a gift. And a number of years ago, I started thinking, no, that's not correct. Because if we see it simply as a gift, then it becomes ours and we do with it what we want. Our money, as well as our time, our talent, the environment, the relationships, these are things that have been entrusted to us. And when that really sinks into us, that changes how we look at things. When God shapes our view of our thinking and actions are slowly but intentionally becoming shaped by God. A transformation begins in us. And I do say begin because we have lapses. But God is always extending grace to us and is always beckoning us to move more towards the love-inspired steward. A steward then can declare what the psalmist did. And I'm going to invite you all to read this with me together. Let's read. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants too. Everything comes from God. Everything exists by his power, and everything is intended for his glory." Inviting God into the arena of your financial decisions is affirming. It's affirming that God is at the center of your lives and that your lives are committed and surrendered to God. The second word is reflecting. Faith-inspired finances is one driven by the notion that we are striving and seeking an understanding of our finances through a faith lens. In order for this to occur, the discipline of intentionally reflecting on a faith perspective becomes paramount. We uncover this as we search the scriptures, which we started doing this morning, the one place that is central for gaining God's perspective. This is how we gain knowledge and understanding for shaping our faith perspective. So this image you have, which you also have in the handout if you received it this morning, is a way of identifying some biblical principles, five specific biblical principles, or six specific principles. They are owner, manager, generosity, purpose, planning, and gratitude. These are key principles that we find in the Bible that help to instruct us and teach us and give us an understanding of faith and finances. It's not limited to these, but these are six of the more common ones that you see in the Bible. The reading of Scripture and reflecting on these principles becomes your guide. It begins a process where you are pausing just long enough so that you can make room for God to shape you, to speak into your life. And as we open ourselves to God, we do begin to listen. And it is during these times of listening and seeking, we can uncover ways God is leading us as we consider and as you consider your financial decisions. I'm going to highlight three of these six this morning. The first one, gratitude. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the singers Matt Redman and Steve, not sure how to pronounce the last name, Angriziano. Hopefully that's close. They wrote the song, The 10,000 Reasons Bless the Lord. And I think that song is so fitting for this value of gratitude. They sing the following words in this 10,000 Reasons song. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. End of quote. My friends, gratitude is about taking a personal inventory of how awesome God has been in your life. And I'm not talking about just about financial blessings. I'm talking about all the blessings that you have experienced in your life. By integrating the practice of counting your blessings, you can turn this practice into a spiritual discipline. So I invite you to imagine, how long would your list be if you were to take time and take an inventory and list all the ways that God has blessed your life? Would you burst out in song and praise for how generous God is? You see, when we stop long enough to reflect, the thing it does, it points us back to God. It serves as a reminder of where all things come from, and it renews us. It also helps us to defeat the scarcity mindset that we too often encounter in our culture today, where we think it's simply never enough. Instead, it shifts us to an awareness of abundance, of everything we already have. That is a good thing, gratitude. A second principle I want to highlight is generosity. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I love what this scripture says. It is a clear, first of all, it's a clear biblical mandate. And if there is one expression or value that best represents God and his son Jesus, it is generosity. We see it in the story of creation, in the life of Christ, to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Generosity unleashed by God. So it is so fitting that our lives should be characterized by generosity as well. And as followers of Christ, this generosity can be expressed in numerous ways. I'm going to identify three that you see up on the slide. First of all, through your giving to God through your congregation here at Lombard Mennonite. There's a history of that. The Old and New Testament shows how God's community are always actively at work in supporting kingdom work. The tithe has often been noted as the norm for giving. Even though today's studies show givers tend to give more like 2%. Additional studies have shown Mennonites tend to have a higher percentage than 2%. And a church I attended in the past was actually close to 10%. So one way you can honor God is to be consistent and regular in your giving. And time to time, every now and then, take the time to revisit what you're giving. Perhaps things have changed in your life where maybe you can give more. That was the first area. The second area is giving, is the giving we provide to family and people we know or people we don't know. Sometimes it may be people in need, and simply it's simply a gift of love and appreciation. The act of giving to others is powerful, and it's freeing. Freeing in the sense that it completely helps us from becoming so self-obsessed with our wants that we are rewarded through this act of doing something good for someone else. It doesn't just make us feel good. It builds meaningful connection. God welcomes this kind of giving too. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, it states, "Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." A third way that you can give is through blessing organizations and ministries that you care about and that you support their mission and the services they provide. This is a wonderful way to multiply your efforts in supporting programs that are blessing others. All three areas of giving are all meaningful ways to bless others. The scripture mentions in a few places about the many expressions of God when we give. We read some of those. My friends, giving is really seen by God as an act of worship. Ponder that simple idea, that notion, that your giving is an expression of worship. Our giving and helping others is an expression of worship to God. I encourage you that as you find opportunities to give in the future, that you remember to pause long enough to remember that you are expressing worship. These are just some examples of taking time to reflect on spiritual principles that can impact your faith. It impacts our minds and our hearts, and it provides God an opportunity to transform us into the type of stewards God yearns us to be. This brings us to the final word, responding. Faith-inspired finances is about responding to God's call in your life through thoughtful and intentional financial decisions. It's making these ordinary and practical decisions and transferring our thinking so our decisions become clear expressions of how you feel led to honor God. I like to refer to these as offerings. Your responses, in one sense, become an offering to God. So consider the following ways of how you can honor God with some of these practical decisions. You honor God as you dedicate the time to develop and manage your income and expenses through a budget. You honor God as you lay out a plan to eliminate your debt within a certain period of time, perhaps using the debt snowball approach. Such a plan releases you from ongoing interest and it frees you. You honor God by committing to use credit cards responsibly and paying them off on a monthly basis rather than getting hit by all that interest. You honor God as you plan for the future by saving for retirement so that your needs are taken care of during your non-working years. You can also honor God as you consider how your faith values impact your investment decisions. And by the way, this is one way that Everence can help you. We have Everence Financial Consultants that can help you with that. In fact, Chad Campbell is going to be leading a presentation exactly on this during the Sunday school hour. You honor God by committing to a lifestyle of generous living, supporting your church, giving to ministries that you care about, helping others in need. Just keep giving until it brings a smile to your face and that you can't imagine living any other way. These very decisions that you make are your offerings back to God. So, my question, what financial offerings will you consider making for the remainder of this year? This brings us back to the beginning, faith-inspired finances. It's about allowing our faith to become more and more a part of our financial decisions. It's uncovering that you can experience God through your decisions as you open up your lives to God, and as you do, you see that it is good. Back to that now, the analogy, the positive ones, the things that mix really well. We all have favorite treats, and one of my favorite treats that I like is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yeah, all right, someone else likes them, okay. And they are so good. They are one of my favorite. In fact, you can almost taste it. Just the sound of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, you can almost taste it. But wait a minute, I'm going to taste it. I have a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Give me 3 seconds. That's good. Wouldn't you like to taste this? Well, guess what? I have some for you. So when the worship service is over, the ushers will be helping to distribute the miniature. I got the full size. The miniature peanut butter cups. I've also left you with this handout that you have here. It's a way, my intention for this handout is that you can take something back with you to encourage you to take time to think and reflect on this after this morning. So, may you leave encouraged, curious, and challenged to want more and expect more from your financial decisions, so that your financial decisions no longer are just money matters. They become a spiritual matter that is having an impact on your life. And when you do that, you will taste and see that it is good. God bless this word. Amen. I better take this down with me.